You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Bonus episode time. How's it going? Welcome to Cinema Crespediso. How you guys doing? Hey, what's up? It's me, your host, Chris Crespo, chilling in the studio. It's another weeknight, bringing you those movie news stories that, you know, things that pop up, things that are worth talking about. There's a number of things that are worth talking about. I got some I'm going to start talking about with my co-host, Drew Stacogburn. Drew!
What up, bro?
I'm going to give you this one.
Okay, sure.
I'm scared now. Drewster Cogburn.
I should have, like, lightning shooting from my hands or something.
Agreed.
That'd be cool.
That would be cool. Mm-hmm. Why? Well, you should work on that. Get with the...
Work on my force lightning?
Get with a Tesla-type device where...
Or should I just go, you know, old-school Sith force lightning?
Takes years of training, but...
All my anger and pain.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You got a little bit of that, don't you? Are you going to make that face when you do it, though?
Of course. You have to look as stupid as possible. Yeah. I mean, dude, when Emperor Palpatine does his stupid little waggly fingers, it looks really dumb.
He is Mr. Waggle Fingers, but then you add lightning to it, and he goes...
No, now he's the Wicked Witch of the West.
Yeah. That's what it is, yeah. You just saw for the first time the new trailer, the full trailer for Blade Runner 2049.
Correct.
From the director of Arrival and Sicario and Prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
Denis Villeneuve.
Mm-hmm.
And what'd you think?
Looks fucking amazing.
Doesn't look good. Looks very
good. It does.
Good. Looks very good.
It looks like Blade Runner. And then I like when he's out in the desert, it turns into Mad Max land. Everything's orange all of a sudden.
Yeah. it's all dust and orange.
It's like, yes.
Dusty orange. Yeah, it is. Totally. It's crazy. Man, yeah, it looks good. It looks solid. It looks like
I mean,
it's fun revisiting that tone and everything, but it still looks it's same but different.
No, it still looks down and dirty, but
cleaner,
but polished.
Polished.
It's like they polished up the dirt.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I feel like in that original one, it's purposefully grittier, grimier, darker. I read Pauline Kael, who's a critic for The New Yorker back in the 70s. I think she's started in the 60s, but 70s was really her heyday, going to the 80s. And she was like a fierce voice of criticism at the time when critics really like held sway in public discourse. And she was brutal. Oh, man, she was savage, like in a good way, because she was smart. That's what I think. She was very observant, very smart. Even if you, the type of person where even if you disagreed with her, you're like, well, I see where you're coming from. Yeah. So she wrote a huge... gigantic pan of Blade Runner, the original one, hated it, but her first paragraph was talking about how beautiful it was and how great it looked and how distinct it looked and how the whole movie she couldn't help but realize, like, this is a very distinct piece of art. Even though the story itself, she felt like, bah.
Yeah.
But she noted how if you're outside, it's claustrophobic and dark as hell, no matter where you are. Even with all the lights and everything, it's still super dark. And then when you go inside... All the light from inside in all the rooms are coming from outdoors. They're coming from the lights, like the searchlights and stuff, and the street signs from outside. So it's already dark in the streets where it's perpetually raining and always night. And then you go inside where no one has any lights on.
Yep.
Or it's all like super low lighting, mood lighting and shit. And this one looks like it's taking it to another level where it's like even more colors.
Yeah, exactly. I mean...
But that's where all the lighting is.
Yeah, I mean...
Like you said off mic.
Exactly. Like I said off mic, Denis Villeneuve has seen Only God Forgives.
He must have.
Because there are a couple of scenes where it's just like, all right, so that's Only God Forgives, except now he's wearing a trench coat.
Yes. and he's got that neon on
him.
Yeah. We got our first look of Jared Leto.
Who looks good.
Wait, Jared Leto?
Yeah.
He's always going to look good, even when he has crazy eyes.
But he's one of those old men. He's fucking ancient, dude.
You mean in real life?
In real life.
Yeah, he's like 45 or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he looks like he's in his 20s still.
He's still, yeah, he looks like he's still in his 20s and he's in his early 40s. Him and Ted Cruz are the same age.
Which is fucking ridiculous.
Which is insane. yeah, he's the bad guy, the villain, mm-hmm. really the ego-driven individual yes. who's just seeing the, quote, bigger picture. As opposed to like, I'm so evil. I hope so anyway. I don't know. God, it would suck if he's like,
I'm just evil.
Yeah, but God damn it, Denis, you blew it.
I mean, it looks interesting. It looks like there's a mystery to uncover.
Right, of course, as there should be.
So obviously, even with as much as we know of the Blade Runner story mm-hmm. and universe, mm-hmm. there's still shit we don't know.
Right. The first one, really the story boils down to, the very first movie is just three replicants escape from an off-road colony and they're loose in Los Angeles. And Harrison Ford's character, Deckard, is hired. Not hired. It's his job. He's a Blade Runner, which is a part of that police force tasked with hunting down replicants and killing them. Retiring them is what they say. End of the movie, he runs off with a replicant, a new model replicant, and who's played by Sean Young, who's also, you know, that's the same chick from Ace Ventura: Pet Detective, Mr. I'm Good with Faces.
Oh, really?
That's Finkel is Einhorn. Einhorn is Finkel. Sean Young in Blade Runner is also the captain. I think she's a captain in that movie.
Yeah,
in Ace Ventura. And then it's like the question is he or is he not a replicant? At one point, she asks him, Deckard, have you ever taken the test, the Voight Kampff test, which determines if you're a replicant? And he just had happened to have fallen asleep at that moment, past that, when she asks, oh, we never find out. So the theory is rage for years. Is he not? I think Ridley Scott has come out and been like, no, he's a replicant. And then other people are like, we don't care what Ridley Scott says. There's no way he is. So now in this movie, Gosling's character is tracking him down, right? And obviously Harrison Ford is like, they didn't de-age him, thank
no.
God.
Yeah, no,
we're
yeah.
still at least like a decade away from that looking really good, right?
Uh-huh. Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Maybe a little over 5 years.
I mean, they are getting noticeably better.
But like Gollum was 15 years ago.
Yeah,
and I feel like Gollum was like, man, it ain't gonna get better than this.
Yeah, no shit. But they have.
Then every year gets incrementally better. Shout out to Chris Fisher, BYOCB. Brought a whole bottle of Tito's vodka for me.
Very nice.
What a nice guy.
And so, sweet.
Instead of the calorie-laden craft beers, which I do mm-hmm. love, he actually listens to the show and knows that I'm on a vodka kick. So, thanks, Chris. We appreciate it.
Vodka diet.
It is the vodka diet because I am trying to get healthy. Not healthy.
No.
Healthy is a baseline I'm not trying to reach. Healthier is, for me, a baseline it's easier to reach. Because compared to a couple months ago, man.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to get drunk, though. Amongst other things. So this one, Gosling's tracking Harrison Ford down. He's older. He's aged. He's like the Terminator. Do Remakins age that much?
We never got...
Never got the.
Thought to ask the question, Chris.
That doesn't come up in any context in the first movie,
nope,
right?
Whatsoever.
They're supposed to die after 3 or 4 years, so how would they age beyond 3 or 4 years?
They didn't die?
This movie takes place 30 years later, hence the title 2049, because the first one. No, 20 years later, because it's 2019. 30 years later, because this movie's in 2019, I think. No, something like that. Anyway, and what he's older. He's an old man.
So, he's hobbling around like old Han Solo.
But he's supposed to be a replicant, though, according to Ridley Scott. I think that's going to be officially answered. But then at the end of the trailer, it's obviously like, oh, now is Ryan Gosling a replicant? He doesn't know. Ooh,
nobody knows fucking anything.
Ooh, I don't have an appropriate button for. Never mind. Mm-hmm. Wait, I'm just going to shut.
It'll be fun. There'll be a lot more questions. Hopefully we'll get some answers. And it's gonna be fucking pretty as hell.
It's gonna be gorgeous. Roger Deakins, fucking cinematographer extraordinaire, like one of the best, shot most of the Coen brothers movies. All right, Roger Deakins, he's so good. So far I think he's shot almost every single but most of Denis Villeneuve's big movies. Who was it? Was it Harrison Ford? He was just recently quoted as saying when he first saw, like, on set, you can see, you know, the cinematographer. He lights the set. And he gets his crew to make the shot look like how the director wants it to look like. And then you can see it on the monitor, the way the set looks and how it's going to come out on camera. And Harrison Ford said, watching Deacons, and Harrison Ford's been around for a long time.
Yeah, he's been doing this for a while.
He's been doing this for a minute, and he's worked with some big names, right?
On some big movies.
Big movies, big names, master technicians. He says seeing Roger Deakins work on a movie like this, the way he works with the light is, he compared it to music. He said he lights things like it's music. It's beautiful. Just seeing it there, and then when we get to see it in movie form, it's like even more color corrected, like
refined.
Within an inch of its life, to the point where they really want to lock it in. Man, it's gonna be something to behold.
I'm looking forward to it.
I feel like I'm gonna have to watch it at least twice. Well, at least once to follow along. But I can think I get it, and then the second time to just get like lost, in, or maybe the first time just like watch.
You just
like,
get lost. You're just like, oh my god, Ryan Gosling's face is glowing pink. This is amazing.
It's pink. It's blue. Now it's orange. It's in 3X. And then the second time around, right now, let's see, what was the story about? Kind of did that with the first Blade Runner. Watched the movie like five times before I really focused on the story of it. Because the first one is kind of more of a laconic pace.
Yeah.
It's a slower pace. I wonder if they'll do that with this one.
We'll find out.
Villeneuve, movies don't. They're not necessarily like quick.
I mean, I'll tell you what. There isn't a lot of running Ryan Gosling in the trailer. A lot of walking.
But also at least two gunshots.
Yeah.
And one explosion.
Yeah, but it's not... This isn't your typical action trailer.
Just like Blade Runner. It's not an action movie. No. It's film noir. It's a detective. No. It's an uncovering of mystery. Mm-hmm. It's 100%. Yes.
Except for film noir, this one's sure going to be filled with color. Damn it.
film noir doesn't necessarily denote colorless.
I know.
Yeah. But definitely...
It's a stereotype, though.
No, but it's funny, though. It's so colorful, but yet still, like, black. Shadows. And yes. Yes, it's exciting. I'm very excited for it. So, Blade Runner 2049, October 6th. The trailer said, right?
Sweet.
That's
close. It'll be here before we know it.
That's crazy. And then you know what's around the corner from that?
Huh?
That Thor Ragnarok.
Oh.
Ridley Scott quoted on the Alien Covenant press tour. The one thing that he said he hates about being a director.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think that could be?
Nah, I got no idea.
He's got no idea.
Mostly because I don't know at all how or what. I mean, I understand what directors do, but I don't know what their day-to-day is like. You're so
stupid! It takes too long to make a movie. That's precisely what it is. And when I saw the headline is on CinemaBlend. One thing that sucks about being a director, according to Ridley Scott, as I was clicking on it, I was like, it takes long to make a movie as a director. And sure enough, it drives me crazy that an actor can do four movies in a year and I can't. I was saying that to Michael Fassbender, which is true. Actor shows up on a movie and...
He does his thing, he's fucking out.
Can work on it for maybe a couple days or maybe a few months, maybe 6 months.
Okay, yeah, because the director's got to be done with the fucking editing process, all the post at the end.
Actor can leave.
And then after all that's done, he's got to go back around, especially this day and age, and do the fucking press tour along with everybody else.
Yes, exactly. Do
people actually give a fuck about who he is?
A lot of directors doing press tours, and then they're also working on a movie 6 months maybe before it hits cameras, you know, in the writing stages and the producing pre-production. So the average time it takes to make a larger movie is
a long fucking time.
A year and a half to 2 years at work as a director. And he mentions that because he is about to turn 80, Sir Ridley Scott.
Yeah.
And he has plans, written down plans
for... God damn it, I've got too many movies!
Too many, which includes like four more Alien movies.
Of course.
So that Neil Blomkamp movie ain't never going to get made, which is a bit disappointing. Because he was talking about bringing in Sigourney Weaver, doing a direct follow-up to Alien 2 with Michael Biehn. He was going to do the terrible de-aging thing, CGI, but at least still, I don't know. I was looking forward to a Blomkamp Alien. But, really, Scott, with this one, he set out to... He really wants to try to scare the pants off people. Sweet. With this movie in particular. He tried his damnedest to do it. And I found some of this info very interesting because we've talked about this in the past. Directors who like work on budget, on time, or over budget, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. Ridley Scott, if you had to imagine, what kind of a director would you think he'd be?
I'm sure he's probably on budget, on time. I see him as a very
efficient
efficient and proficient director.
Right. That has to do with his 20 years of like making commercials before he started making movies. He didn't make his first movie until he was 40 years old.
Yeah.
But that's because he was, for 20 years, he made 10,000, over 10,000 commercials. Anyway. Alien Covenant. He was able to shoot it in 74 days, which is stupid. 2.5 months he shot that movie.
Wow.
A movie like that typically will take like 100 days to shoot. Also, on you know movie budgets, Alien Covenant. You've seen the trailers, all the CG, all the actors. How much do you think that movie would cost to make?
Over $100 million.
I mean, how much?
Over? Let's say 163.
He spent $111 million to make this movie, which is not much at all. And actually, really, Scott said, when you're spending $250 on a movie, you should have been fired a year ago.
And that's refreshing too, because you know, especially these days, a movie of that caliber,
mm-hmm.
You know, a alien movie, mm-hmm. you would think would cost a fucking $250 million.
Yeah, exactly. And he's obviously taking a shot.
Oh, I mean, $250 million.
He's taking a shot at those. All those Marvel movies, all the comic book movies. They've gotten so expensive.
Yeah, the giant bloated budgets.
The Fast and the Furious movies. They cost over $200 million. But yeah. It's because they're expected to make that much money. You know?
No, exactly. Disney doesn't mind spending that kind of money when they make a billion.
But in this,
like, I'll spend $250 to make that back fourfold.
As opposed to Alien Covenant, which is an R-rated movie, even though it's a summer movie, so expected not to make Guardians of the Galaxy size opening weekend. It's not going to make 140, 150. I'd be shocked if it opened to 100, to be honest. You know, maybe somewhere around 75.
But it'll still be profitable.
Over a long run, it'll be profitable. That's why they make them movies to begin with. I think, you know, for the most part, I think it looks pretty good.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I'm interested. I mean, I've seen some, I've seen one of the shorts.
It's, yeah, they put out a few of those
in
now.
Between with, you know, Noomi Rapace and his face?
Michael Fassbender?
Yeah.
Michael Fassbender's head?
Yeah, after they got off the planet, she's repairing him and whatnot.
Oh, is that what's going on?
That's interesting.
I didn't see any of that.
See, because that really doesn't have much to do with the new movie. You know, it doesn't have any of the other characters, so it's not spoiling anything.
Yeah, it's true.
It's prequel stuff.
But I think, I mean, she's billed as being in the movie.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah, so she's in it somewhere. So
somehow.
Yeah, so I am interested in how they have all this prologue stuff that
maybe
they're putting
out. Maybe the prologue that's going to be the first 10 minutes of the movie.
Possible, or maybe it's just extra information that's out there if you want it.
Yeah.
It's nice to have. It's cool to see, but it cut out of the movie. Maybe they're like, this is going to be in the movie, but this movie's too long. We need to cut it. Oh, let's cut it out and put it out online ahead of time to help build anticipation.
If everybody wants to watch it, they can. If not, then cool.
Then we can all stitch it together as a director's cut. Oh my God, this reminds me. Whoa, we should be doing this now. 7 p.m. today. Today. You know what debuted on FX?
What?
The director's cut of Michael Mann's Black Hat.
What?
Yes. What? On FX.
What?
What? That is right.
How does...
This was announced like 2 days ago.
It doesn't make any sense.
You're telling me.
What the fuck is going on here?
What the fuck is going on? Michael Mann's...
Somebody... Whose birthday is it at FX? Where somebody was like, you know what? Boom. Got your birthday present, brah.
Michael Mann's Black Hat. I know how much you like it.
Director's cut, and we're airing on TV.
With commercials.
What?
Let's sit down.
Not only are we going to watch it, but we're going to make money off other people watching it.
I want to see it, though, now. I want to see this director's cut. Because the movie's frustrating to me. It's like, oh, it could be good, but it's not. Why? There's something missing. Maybe the director's cut. That's what's missing.
Maybe
is
it's
it
like
a Kingdom of Heaven situation?
Exactly. Is it a Kingdom of Heaven situation? Because let me tell you, the theatrical cut of Kingdom of Heaven is garbage.
Yes, but the director's cut is
so amazing.
It's crazy how much better it is. It's crazy what you do to a movie when you excise entire storylines. Same thing happened to Alien 3. They cut out an entire storyline. And like, now this movie sucks. Gee, I wonder what happened. Speaking of directors, over budget, under budget. We mentioned this on the show on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Doug Liman, director of Go and The Wall, which comes out this weekend, known for going over budget, over schedule, going crazy in the editing room, not making decisions.
And yet, he still makes movies.
And yet, his movies make money. For some reason, his movies still end up good, and they end up making money. He is attached to Justice League Dark.
Oh.
The live-action version.
Interesting.
Go ahead and explain the people with Justice League Dark.
I really don't know.
Well, but you know, though.
I mean, kind of. I watched a cartoon on the Amazon that had Batman with Constantine, some other people who have no idea who the fuck they are.
Constantine, that's right. It's their supernatural. The supernatural wing of DC Comics, right? Mm-hmm. Like the Swamp Thing?
Yeah, Swamp Thing, you're right. Yeah, right? Swamp Thing. And the Demon, he was in it too.
The Demon.
Etrigan.
Yes, the Demon. It's an awesome character. Yeah. So Doug Liman is... he has jumped from another comic book movie. He was working on, with Channing Tatum, on Gambit.
God, I want that movie needs to fail so bad.
Oh, it's Channing Tatum's gonna make it happen. He's working on that New Orleans.
He needs not make the movie.
He's gonna have the worst New Orleans accent.
He's going to make the worst Gambit movie.
He's like, hey, y'all. Nah, that's more of a Paul Dean.
It's gonna be bad.
It's gonna be terrible. He left that because he said he couldn't find a personal way into it. He says every single movie he makes, he finds a personal hook into it. And even if other people can't see what it is or they think it's weird.
As long as he feels it.
If he feels that he can find it, then that's when he makes the movie. He couldn't find it with Gambit. That's why he left. Apparently, he found one with Justice League Dark. And then he has a quote here about the movies he's watching in preparation for this one. And then he mentions another movie that he made. So it gives you an idea of his work process. I think this is interesting. Doug Liman, quote, "It's going to have real horror elements, for sure. I love early horror films, be it The Exorcist or Carrie, The Omen. In the same way that Bourne Identity, I went back to the 70s paranoia. There's stuff to be mined from the people who have come before me that I plan to bring to Justice League Dark. And also the arena, my good friend Simon Kinberg with Deadpool really pushed the arena. I'm never going to do something that's straightforward, but I'm not going to do something campy either. I have a take on it that isn't like anything else out there, emphasis mine. At the end of the day, I make character-driven movies. So expect a apparently dark, intense Justice League Dark movie. He's going to push that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Is he going to get Batfleck to play Batman?
If he pops up. I mean, he can. He has him. He's there if they can afford him.
Is he going to pull in Keanu Reeves to be Constantine again? Because he already had a Constantine movie.
Man, that'd be so cool. That'd be awesome. I'd be totally down for anything.
I love that Reeves, movie. So. That movie should have been. Oh, it could have been so much better than it was.
It could have been. And you know, Francis Lawrence is this type of director who's like, man, the movies he make like could be great, but they're okay at best.
Yeah,
I Am Legend.
Okay at best. Could have been great. Really could have been.
Starts awesome.
Yeah,
and then really stumbles across that finish line. Constantine.
Yeah.
And everyone, of course, knows Water for Elephants. No, no one knows that one. The Hunger Games movies. Hunger Games 2, 3, and 4. He did
everything about Constantine is fucking amazing. Except for the movie itself as a whole.
Yeah, it's like, it's weird, right? Jimon Hansu and Tilda Swinton, and Keanu Reeves is great, and Rachel Weisz, and it's like, it's a horror, and it's action, and it's noir, and he was smoking that movie, right?
Fuck, dude, that was like,
he's always smoking.
That was the point, like, he was trying to kill himself, he's coughing up blood. I mean, at the end, he took the cancer out of his chest.
Yeah.
The devil took out the cancer from his
chest. Peter Stormare is the devil.
Yeah, which, that entire scene with Tilda Swinton and him... as the devil at the end of the fucking movie is just one of the most amazing feats of fucking cinema.
Maybe we need to rewatch it. I haven't seen it since it was in the theater.
Dude, it's so good. I mean, it's one of my...
Maybe we need to rewatch
it. It's one of the things... I would call it a guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
Because as...
Oh, I say don't have guilty pleasures.
No, exactly. It's a fucking pleasure. I fucking love Constantine. I really do.
I need to rewatch that movie because I haven't seen it since it was in theaters.
Yeah, and at the end, they don't do the... Because at the end of the movie... Like, they set it up like a regular movie where, like, Constantine's supposed to, like, kiss the girl and go away.
Yeah.
But he walks up and, like, pulls out a cigarette instead and fucking lights it. He's just like, what, bitch?
You wouldn't like that.
That's amazing.
That's funny. Well, maybe they'll pop up in this. It does say in this article from Cinema Blend, previous reports have suggested the inclusion of Swamp Thing, Zatanna? Erdogan the Demon.
Etrigan, yeah.
Excuse me, Etrigan. I my dyslexia kicked in there. Dead Man? Yeah. Sorry.
Like I said, I watched that animated one on the Amazons. think you were there.
I think I was there.
I think you were there too.
I barely remember it. Justice League Dark had was almost made by Guillermo del Toro.
That would have been fucking awesome.
Would have been fucking awesome.
Yeah, I want to see Guillermo del Toro's Batman.
Oh, that'd be cool too, right? Man, Batman. For some reason, I feel like Batman would have big eyes,
giant red glowing eyes.
Guillermo del Toro. We're gonna go.
Somehow he would bring out fangs into it.
He would bring
like it would be more Man Bat than Batman.
There is that one scene in Batman vs Superman where like Batman, it's one of his dream sequences in Tomb, and like a giant bat monster comes out of a wall at him.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
We're gonna go back to Doug Liman in a minute, but Guillermo del Toro was gonna be the Justice League Dark director. That all fell apart. He was also working on Hellboy 3 for a minute. That fell apart. You know what was announced today? The Hellboy reboot. Boom.
Reboot.
Yes, Drew. The reboot. We're doing it all over again. New everyone except for the guy behind the whole thing. What's his name? Mike Mignola.
Mike Mignola.
Yes. I had a little ethnic accent to it that was unnecessary, apparently. I think he recreated it, right?
Yeah, he created it. I'm just trying to think.
And
is that Dark Horse? I don't remember what Hellboy was. Cause Hellboy wasn't Marvel, DC.
Dark Horse Comics.
Dark Horse, okay. Yep.
That's how it goes, says Dark Horse Comics. He announced on Facebook, I believe today, because this broke today, that Hellboy... it's coming back to theaters. It's going to be rated R this time. Thanks.
Cool.
Thanks, Deadpool. Thank you, Deadpool. Thank you, Logan.
Thank you, Deadpool. Thanks, Logan.
It will be directed by Neil Marshall. Neil Marshall's movies include Dog Soldiers, which is a great werewolf movie. But it's like 15 years old now. Doomsday, which is that Escape from Glasgow. With Rhona Mitra as Lady Snake Plissken.
Yeah.
She had the eye patches on the other eye, so they couldn't sue him.
Exactly.
And, man, if anyone deserved to get sued for ripping someone off, they must have paid money on the back end somewhere.
Somebody. Because it really was. Dude, it was Escape from Glasgow.
Straight up. Escape from New York. I'm trying to think of his most popular movies. Did you ever see that Michael Fassbender one, Centurion? Where it's the Roman, it's so. Like, remember the Channing Tatum one, The Eagle?
Yeah.
What's that, the Roman Legion?
Yes.
It's another Roman Legion movie, but with Michael Fassbender this time, lower budget. Anyway, he's done a bunch of stuff. At this point now, though, his most successful things have probably been, like, he directed the Hard Home episodes of Game of Thrones. And a couple, like, the bigger episodes of Game of Thrones he's directed. He's doing Hellboy.
Cool.
And they cast the Hellboy. It's not Ron Perlman.
Of course not.
He's too old. He is too old, poor guy. He wants to do it so bad. It's makeup.
He's still too old.
He's an old man. David Harbour. Name's not that familiar. The faces, though. David Harbour. His most recent credit, his most popular credit, probably, Stranger Things. The sheriff. That big fella.
Oh, fuck yeah.
That giant dude.
Word up.
With the big head.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm down.
There you go. I think they actually did a good job with that casting.
Sure.
Love Ron Perlman. Sorry, as much as Hellboy 2 disappointed me, I would have liked to have seen Perlman del Toro give it another shot to Hellboy 3. Would have been fantastic. But you know what? A Neil Marshall Hellboy rated R with this fella? I'm down. I'm in. Also, rated R means lower budget, which means they can get even weirder with it. That's the thing. Yeah. That was the one problem with the Del Toro movies.
Huge budget.
Huge budgets, PG-13. The studios expected money to be made, which, fair enough. That's why these movies get made to begin with, right?
It's a business.
So that's why the first movie, the whole cast of characters was led by random bland white guy from the FBI, whoever. Mm-hmm. Remember that guy? Yeah. No, of course not.
Because he's bland. Random bland white guy.
And then the second one was just, I don't know, was just sloppy. Let's see, moving on to jumping back to Doug Liman. Doug Liman, director of all those movies like Go and Born Identity, etc., etc. Also, director of Edge of Tomorrow, which was its title in theaters, on home video.
Live to repeat.
: Edge of Tomorrow. Yeah. Like, they admitted.
So weird.
Like, damn it, our tagline was better than our actual movie title.
Yes, it was.
We fucked this up. Yeah, imagine if they changed the title of Alien to In Space No One Can Hear You Scream.
It's a little long.
It's a little long. It's a little wordy.
Yeah.
It's a little mouthy. Uh-huh. What if they changed the title of Jaws 2 to just when he thought it was safe to go back in the water? Man, talk about mouthy.
Mouthy.
Talk about wordy. What if they called Alien Covenant Run?
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Right?
That's a pretty good that's a pretty good tagline. Yeah. Just run, picture the alien.
Exactly. Run. Yeah, because that's exactly what the fuck I would do.
Shout out to our German listeners. Their posters say, Lauf. That's run in German.
Oh, okay.
Doug Liman.
Yes.
Has a quote about Edge of Tomorrow 2.
Okay.
Including a title. He announced the title. You want to say, guess what the title is?
Live, Die, Repeat, Repeat.
All right. Here's Live, Die, Repeat, Repeat. Here's a quote from Doug Liman. We have an amazing story. It's incredible. Way better than the first film. And I obviously love the first film. It will be called Live, Die, Repeat, and Repeat. Yes, true. Where's you get your arms are up in the air in celebration.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Live, Die, Repeat, and Repeat.
So stupid.
Is the title of the movie. Tom Cruise is excited about it, and Emily Blunt is excited about it. The big question is just when we'll do it. It's not an if, it's a when.
Edge of Tomorrow 2 is a better title than Live, Die, Repeat, Repeat.
Yeah, but on home video, now it's called Live, Die, and Repeat. Live, Die, Repeat. Now it's called Live, Die, Repeat, and Repeat. I told you Doug Liman's a crazy guy, man. He's a weirdo. But he's all about this movie, man. He's all about the first one. He's all about doing a sequel. And fortunately, people... we even talked about it on this show. I mentioned it on home video. When it finally came out, it was easy for people to watch. People finally came around because it didn't make enough money, really, domestically, box office-wise. People slept on it. It was a busy summer. I don't know. Tom Cruise fatigue. I don't know what was going on. We were on the forefront banging that drum.
Yeah.
Go see this fucking awesome movie. It's great. It's a lot of fun.
It's a weird ass fucking sci-fi flick with Tom Cruise.
Fortunately, we're going to get another one that apparently Doug Liman's very excited about.
All right.
And... Oh, I guess that's really it. I was going to... Beauty and the Beast became the highest grossing PG-rated movie ever.
Sure.
And David Lynch... won't make movies anymore. He says it's pretty much a budget thing.
No.
He says things that do great at the box office are things that I don't want to do. But he's got TV now.
I was about to
say, all these directors just go to TV.
And that's fine because it looks like they're throwing money at people in TV these days. So.
They are. And you know, they're calling it Peak TV, which I find hysterical because there are over 200 channels of television and it's all garbage. And so much garbage.
Seriously, there is, at any given point in time, there's maybe 2 to 3 shows that I'm watching.
Exactly. Right now we're watching like Fargo and Better Call Saul.
That's it.
Right? We could, I guess, start Iron Fist.
You know, I haven't gotten that buzz about it.
There's no buzz. No one likes it.
Nobody's like, hey, bro, you watched that Iron Fist? Everybody was like, yo, bro, Luke Cage. And I was like, hell yeah. Like,
every other show.
Everybody was like, Daredevil, bro, have you? Yes, I have.
The other three shows, everyone's very excited. Iron
Jessica
Fist
Jones. Dude, even to a lesser degree, Jessica Jones, but people were still talking about
it. People were like, you should check it out. It's good. And I had things that were fucking daring about it and very cool.
And not a goddamn person has been like, hey man, have you seen that Iron Fist?
Probably their first Netflix Marvel flopperoo. Yeah. Hey, you know what? They can't all be perfect. Right?
No, I mean, eventually something had to fail.
Exactly. Yeah, eventually one of those noodles had to not stick against the wall. What a shock. It was the most racially insensitive one. Oh man, they put out a new trailer for It Comes at Night, like a full trailer.
Yeah, I saw it.
You saw that one?
Yeah.
That's a creepy looking movie. Yeah. Are they turning into monsters?
I don't know.
Into demons?
I don't know what's going on.
Looks like it's at the one of the very last shots, looks like it was someone turning into something.
Maybe.
Man, oh, they were like, there's that one shot where they were kissing and then the blood just started. Ugh.
I don't know what's going on, and I'd rather know as little as much as possible.
If these two trailers are the only ones that I've seen, then that's fine. Perfect. Yeah. I'm in.
I was in after the first trailer.
Did that new one have a release date, though?
I don't know.
See, I don't want to know. Because that one, God, I really want to see that.
After the first trailer, I was fucking completely sold. I'm like, that's a dark hallway. Talking about a door.
A door that, who opened the door?
A door that's not supposed to be open, but was. What the fuck is going on? I don't know, but I want to see it.
June 9. exactly 1 month away.
All right.
In exactly 4 weeks, we got to find out what comes at night.
So, not, it's not good.
Man, no. I don't think it ever
Whenever is. You say it comes at night, whatever it is usually is not a good thing.
Yeah, if it's stuck, you're stuck at the level of it when it comes to definition. Yeah, I mean, can't define what it is.
I mean, if it was something good, you know, like candy, you'd be like, candy comes at night.
Candy comes at night, yeah, yeah. Or
pancakes come at night.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, barbecue chicken comes at night.
All these things are food. Food comes at night.
Food comes at night.
But no, it's just it. I can't describe what it is. But it comes at night.
I don't think I want to be here when night comes then.
You don't want to be here when night comes or it.
No.
When either of them come.
No.
The original title of Hancock, Will Smith's Hancock, was Tonight, comma, He Comes. Drew, where can people find you on the internet?
At antihero419. All over the internet.
That's a verifiable fact. Google that. But make sure you add Michael Mann to the search, or else you'll get some interesting... safe search on. Guys, follow me on Twitter. I am Chris Cresswell. Raiders and Reels on iTunes. We appreciate it. We will be back this weekend with your annual Mother's Day episode of Cinema Crespini. So,
sweet.
It's just another Sunday. Matter. Yeah, it's another. My mom's in town. I actually have to do something that morning.
Oh, nice.
I'm gonna go for breakfast.
When are we gonna record?
Afternoon.
Okay, good.
Afternoon. I'll let you know exact time.
Say I gotta work at 5.
You gotta what?
I gotta work from 5 to 8.
You gotta go to work?
No.
What?
Store meeting.
What? No. Okay, we'll figure it out. All right, guys, we appreciate it. Thank you very much. We'll be back with more stuff later.